quick little recap here, though I know you guys are fully, you know what, fuck that, we haven't, like, we've talked, but we haven't done, like, that wonderful thing of pre-show banter, and, like, I don't know about you guys, but I think about these topics, like, while I'm at work, amongst, like, all the other campaign things that I have constantly going through my mind, and I had, like, a really fucking good one, and I was like, nah, that's fine, brain, you can just shove that all away. But here's a question for you guys. Are you at all scared of your characters going insane? I know we've only had the one instance of Sam using her brand new sanity score, and you guys, like, started to feel it, but are you guys excited for the potential that your characters could literally go insane? Or are you more terrified?
Yes.
Okay. I probably phrased it very badly.
No, I am excited for the role play possibility of an insane character as the intelligence-based character in the group. I'm terrified of the implications of me losing my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need you for those roles.
Right. Like, especially, you know, nature-based, to find, like, the difference between plants we can eat, now that that's a thing, and the things that will kill us. Arcana would be huge to lose. Like, I don't think the scores affect each other, but I don't fucking know. I've never played with Sanity, so so yeah, I don't know what the effects are. I don't know what the repercussions would be of losing one's mind in the Underdark, especially one that is fully reliant on their own mind.
Yeah, I'm a little horrified over here in Indigo Corner, because he's such a sweet little innocent boy. I don't know what he's going to do if he goes, like, if he loses his grip on his sanity. You know, he's very, you know, a grounded person. I think he becomes a very, very different character if he's not moored to the reality that he's been living in.
Yeah, I would echo that, in that my character, Lara, I feel like, is, you know, maybe a little more gruff and aggressive than the others, and he makes something like that insane, and, you know, from a roleplay, like, standpoint, like, shit could get a little wild, and she's already lost one, so.
I'm like, worried about you guys going feral. Like, essentially, just, like, the mind breaks, and you're just
barn cats.
DPS monsters with no thought process whatsoever. Like, now I need to ask, because it would be just such a 180 for Indigo, and I think it would truly destroy us all to see you go down this road. Do you think if you went insane, would you kill and eat Stool?
Oh no!
Mother.
The most terrifying of all possibilities. My best friend, my best lunch. Oh no. I suppose anything's possible.
I know it's a hard ask. Yeah,
it's the darkest timeline right there.
It's a hard reality. But, you know, given the circumstances and how, you know, the insanity might work, I think we have to entertain the option that these things may happen.
Yeah, it's like, how much does your sanity score affect your alignment? Is the question.
Yeah. I think too.
I guess you guys will find out.
Yeah.
Will, are you concerned about your sanity while DMing this campaign?
Yeah. Are you making rolls?
I am always making saves every day, all day, and you know what? Some days I lose it all, and some days I get it back, and I'm like, wow, I'm king of the world, but then I'm like, is that the madness or am I actually getting better? So I'm glad that you guys are both excited and intimidated. I think it adds a wonderful layer to this already difficult campaign. Now we're really getting into it. Last time, you guys awoke, specifically Indigo and Lara, in a weird mushroom-filled chamber, lying down with all of your companions, Topsy-Turvy, Eldith, Sarith, Bupido, and you realized your friend was not with you, however, his belongings were nearby. You guys were kind of investigating the area, noticing this weird fungus that kind of provided light when you heard these large footsteps approaching. A moment later, this large insectoid-like creature came through, and you guys kind of managed to get through a language barrier through Indigo knowing Elvish, and this creature speaking kind of a bad, kind of broken, rough, more ancient-like Elvish. And you guys learned that it was of a species called a Coulterid, which were, and I didn't realize it until later, they're basically Firbolgs of the Underdark. You know, they are the Underdark insectoid tamers. They kind of roamed it, keeping a natural order of things down there until the drow and the dwager, as they started arriving more into the Underdark, and eventually the Illithids kind of like pushed these kind of peaceful creatures back until they were forced to create some kind of ritual to preserve themselves in this sanctuary. However, this particular one, Brillanira, seems to be the only one that has survived or that still remains here. And in your fall, you kind of broke the cocoon that kind of kept them in this state, in to which they were actually grateful for, because they have no idea how long it's been, but they are now kind of on a mission to go find the others of their species. You guys inquired about your friend, like, where's the fell? What's happening? He's like, oh, that dude, he mad sick. Like, he's got things going on underneath his skin. Come with me. And he shows you guys through this large cavern. And as you approach this, like, spiderweb locked cave, you peek in. And sure enough, there's some mad tentacle shit happening underneath the skin. And you guys watch as Sefel tears his skin, his human skin off. And Illithid boy comes to life. You guys kind of have a moment of, what? Okay, awkward. You just got way creepier than you were already. You guys kind of small talk amongst yourselves, like, what does this kind of mean? Is this really okay? What's the implications of having a mind flayer in our midst? You know, you guys eventually determine that, you know what, it's Sefel. So far, we're good. He seems all right. He can still do his magic. We all need to get out of here. Let's kind of make this happen. So you gathered some edibles, some water, and as you guys were ready to go, Brillanira hand waved kind of near a wall, and the stone opened up to reveal a kind of passageway. And as they started leading you in, they fluttered their carapace, and what were essentially like fireflies came out and started to illuminate the way. So that's where we find ourselves. You guys are on your way trying to get to Gracklestug, the Dwager city. Okay.
Sorry. Lara would like to lead, and if this is like a tunnel, I have dark vision, so I can see pretty far. I'd like to cast light on my staff. Mm-hmm. So that we have some light with us, but definitely ready to get rid of that if we encounter anything.
Okay, sure. Yeah, you can be in the lead. Brennan, I'm just going to let you know, because you are focusing on mapping, you will not be able to participate in any of the foraging checks or survival checks, because that will take a lot of detailing, because you don't know kind of like how everything kind of comes together.
That is and fair, as you guys are probably kind of like, to the party's benefit.
Yeah,
because my wisdom, like, as you guys sucks.
Start as you start making your way through this tunnel, kind of like beginning to gather everybody, kind of fall into a formation, you see that not even after like 10-15 minutes, as you're walking through this kind of narrow space, all of a sudden your path is just intersected by a huge 15 foot wide in diameter hole. And everybody's just like, purple worm came through. Okay, like, must be digging its way through to another place. And, you know, as you keep venturing forth, more and more tunnels branching off in all sorts of different directions just keep happening. And let's go ahead and have Lara at advantage, because you have Brillinira. Go ahead and roll me a survival check.
Ooh, buddy. That is a 13 and a 10. So 13.
Okay. Great. So between you and Brillinira, you guys are kind of talking back and forth about this, and you are able to kind of, with their help, keep you pointed up in what feels like a slow ascent as you guys are coming through these different tunnels. And Indigo, do you want to forage any kind of food while you guys are traveling?
I most certainly would love to.
All right. Go ahead and make me a survival check as well. Do you want any kind of help?
Ooh, I would most certainly take some help, especially from our some of our more Underdark resident folks who would know what food is.
Okay. Do you want advantage, or do you want them to roll separately?
I'll take the advantages. I feel like I'm pretty good at survival in general.
All right, go ahead and take it.
And I need it with the advantage. That is a lowly 11.
Okay. As you guys are making your way through for the day, you are keeping your eye out constantly, but you don't come across anything. It's pretty bare bones in these current tunnels that you guys are traversing. Sam, go ahead and make me, or I should say Lara, go ahead and make me a perception check, please.
12.
Okay. You guys, as you are coming through these dark caverns, these weird tunnels, occasionally you see like small glowing bits of fungi, and you'll see like old bug carcasses, or you'll just see like various small ones skittering up onto the walls. Occasionally you see like a damp patch where it seems like water is kind of seeping through, and then the rest is just kind of barren. And as you guys are going along, you actually come up on this slightly larger cavern, as you've seen like a couple of small paths that break off to the left and to the right. And as you're peeking down, you just see they kind of lead to dead ends. You know, have you guys ever seen, you guys ever see that toy kind of thing where you could keep like ants in a glass container and you could see how they tunnel down through the sand?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Ant farm.
Okay. So it's kind of like that. It's just like fractaling about within the ground, and you're kind of picturing, picking up on this, that it's just random around here, and you're all like, how the hell do any of these guys find their way? You feel like you've been probably traveling for a couple of hours now, and you've come up on this cavern, and you see that it's quite large, but Lara, you notice that there is like some larger skeletoid or skeleton-like figures laying upon the ground in this cavern. They are about 4 feet tall, a little heavy set, but it's just the bones that you see.
Okay.
And let me go ahead and show you guys the map here. Yeah, so go ahead and kind of like situate yourselves around as you've like come into this room, or this cavern, I should say. And you see that, like, near where Safel actually stands, there is a skeleton upon the ground, one of these smaller skeletons.
Which tunnel did we enter from?
Is it something you want to investigate? Is it something you just want to blast on by? What are you thinking?
Oh, we should take a look. We should figure out what went down here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that to the people that are good at it. And I'm going to... I think I want to kind of take a peek down the different tunnels, because we're in this like room with multiple potential exits and entrances.
So. Okay. Go ahead and move yourself to where you want to kind of check out while... which of you guys want to check out these skeletal bodies?
Yeah, I like to... Go ahead, Savelle.
I was going to say, I'm less interested in the bodies themselves, and if somebody else wants to investigate look at the bodies, I was going to see if they had any, like if there were any belongings or materials on the skeletons.
Okay. Roll an investigation check there, Savelle.
All right. Yeah.
And I'd love to take a look and see if I could figure out what killed these folks.
Okay, you go ahead and make a medicine check.
That is a 13 for investigation.
And 19 okay. On the medicine check.
Okay. Lara, you still kind of moving your way down this tunnel, kind of seeing what's happening?
Yeah, I think peeking, only going like probably to here.
Okay.
Still eyesight.
So you see that this kind of forks off in a couple different ways. You see some of those glowing mushrooms kind of coming up in this particular direction, but it just seems like more paths. Sifel, you actually see that there are no like objects on these guys. It's just skeletons. You don't see clothes. You don't see any armor or weapons or anything. You don't see any bags. Indigo, you are looking at these guys, and you see that they have on the bones what look like large what's the word I want to use? Like lacerations deep within the bone. In a couple of places the bones are actually like severed apart, but pretty cleanly. And you kind of put together that whatever these creatures were, they were eaten somehow by something that doesn't necessarily have teeth, but some kind of beak.
Well, I have good news and bad news. The bad news, a lot of these people were ripped apart by some sort of giant bird creature. So that's not great. On the bright side, there's no giant bird here, so maybe we'll get away scot-free.
Are you capable of cross-referencing these lacerations with the harpy-like creatures we saw at the prison?
I cast my mind back to those strange bird-like beasts. Does it look like about the same thing?
Their beaks in particular, you would think by these bite marks they look similar, but you would think these came from some kind of a medium kind of sized creature, something a little bit smaller than those harpies. And you also know, like, those guys... those particular creatures like to fly, whereas this cavern is maybe only about 15 feet tall, so something could, but it would be rather difficult to kind of fly through these tunnels.
That's a great...
And as you're, like, investigating it, you actually feel something, like, behind you. And as you turn and look, you see this large worm-like creature coming down, and you see these four tentacles leap back and a large beak appear from the center and just goes, roll for initiative.
Oh, fuck.
Ah, we entered.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
You rolled that. Your roll's just that good, huh?
I rolled a one.
I rolled a two.
Oh, no.
It's fine. I rolled 15. I will deal with it before you're around. It's fine.
Great.
All right. So Andrew has a 15. Oh. Who got the one?
I did, which totals 4 for me.
Okay. Sam, what'd you get there?
My 2 also totals 4.
Okay. Who's got the higher dex?
14.
16.
Okay, so Brendan slash Sefel will go before that. Okay. Wow, guys. This is a sticky wicket. As this large worm-like creature, not large, I should say, but this weird four-tentacled, large beak-like worm creature descends itself from the ceiling, you see that three others do the same around the party. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Give me a minute to write all these NPCs out. Okay. So there are four in particular that you can control. There's Eldith, the dwarf. There is Sarith, the drow. There's Stool, the Myconid, and Bupedo. Topsy and Turvy are going to stay under my control here. As I said before, if there's any kind of weapons that you see in the stat block, like other than natural weapons, consider the fact that they do not have it, except Bupedo does have a dagger. So your typical 1d4 plus dex modifier, and he is proficient. So you guys decide who wants to control whom.
Give me Stool.
Deuces. All right.
I feel like we have to give Andrew Stool.
Yeah. I'll take Bupedo.
Okay. Taking the Darrow.
I will take Eldith.
Okay. And who wants to be the odd person to control three and take Sarith, who is the drow stat block?
I can take him.
All right. May the odds be ever in your favor. First up here, because there's these oh-so-good creatures that surprised you, they all get to do a quick little attack. So, first up, Indigo. This worm-like creature reaches down and is going to take a tentacle attack at you. All right. That's a natural one. Fuck.
Yes. That's how I like my DM to roll.
So it lashes out at you, and you just like having just enough time to see it, you duck down out of the way. All right. The next one is going to be this one next to Topsy, who is going to also swing out with its tentacle. That is plus 4. That is a 12 to hit. I don't think that does it. Why can I not? Oh, there we go. That does actually hit, so they are going to take... Ooh. They take 7 points of damage as this tentacle hits it. Hits Topsy, and you just hear them scream. But as they get hit, you see the tentacle latches on, and this worm reaches forward and goes to take a bite with its beak now that it has Topsy in its grasp. It's a natural two, so Topsy is just able to, like, barely pull it, their head back enough to avoid this beak coming in as it had latched on. All right, next one is the one above Eldith. That's an 18, a natural 18, so that's a 22 to hit. Does that hit you, Eldith?
22 hits.
Okay. All right. We're already bitter, and it's like our first real combat. I see. I see. You take 6 points of slashing damage, and since I hit you, I get a free attack with the beak.
Great.
Oh my god, that's another natural one. What the hell is this? I'm not okay. I'm not okay. Next is the one next to Turvy. Oh my god, that just hits them. I'm getting low rolls again, guys. I don't like these low rolls. I'm gonna have to start switching up dice. However, that is 9 points of damage to Turvy. You hear her yell out in pain. And since that hit, here comes the beak. Natural 4! So the beak also misses. These two deep gnome are able to pull themselves away just in time. We are now at the top of the order with Brillinira, who is represented by this particular token at the moment. Brillinira is going to... Let's take a look at their actions. Yes. Mm-hmm. This is good. This is... good. They pull from behind in their shell like what looks like a long jagged piece of bone that kind of looks what you guys would consider like a short sword, and they are going to step all the way over towards Turvy and attack this creature. I'm going to use my Roman numeral die here. That is a 10 plus 4 for 14. Does that hit this creature? It just hits. All right, that is 5 points of damage to this creature, and you hear it just trying, just kind of squealing, and you see it has this long caterpillar-like body that goes up to the ceiling where they're like suction cupped to it. All right, that is their turn. Eldith, you are up.
Okay, so Eldith, who is right up in melee with this gross tentacle beak creature, is going to make... she's going to pull her short sword and make two attacks against...
She does not have her equipment.
She doesn't have her equipment. That's...
Nope.
Right. In that case, she is going to punch it, I guess?
Yeah, you can totally take an unarmed strike against it. You can also try to use something in the area. There are rocks, there are the bones of that skeleton. You can try to use them as improvised weapons.
Okay. I am going to... Is there a rock that looks jagged enough to be, like a knife of some kind or anything like that?
Not jagged enough to be a knife, but, you definitely find a big enough rock kind of, like, near your feet that would have, it would be like a D4 worth of damage, bludgeoning damage.
Okay. She's gonna, pick that up in her hand and just crack the thing twice in the beak mouth.
Okay, go ahead and roll to hit.
First one, what would I be adding to this? Is this strength?
This is just strength, no proficiency bonus.
Okay, so the first one definitely doesn't hit with a natural 11. Natural 17 for the second attack.
Okay, that hits.
Okay, and you said it's a D4 for the rock?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 2 points of damage.
Okay, you smash this creature right on the beak with that rock, and you feel like you didn't even do that much damage.
Yeah.
Okay, next up in the order is Bupido.
Okay. Lupito is going to... You said he has a dagger.
He has a dagger, yes, and he is proficient. So I think you guys have a plus two proficiency bonus right now.
So...
Yeah, so two plus his dex modifier.
He's going to run up to the creature next to either Topsy or Turby, whoever that is.
Okay.
And do a little jib-jab with that old dagger.
All right, do it. Do it. Hit it.
Seven to hit.
That is a miss.
I'm shocked.
I know. He's so good.
Yeah, that's it.
That's Bupito. Okay. Next up we have Topsy. Now Topsy, not really having anything here, is going to try and punch this creature here. That is a miss. Nice job. However, they are going to try and run away, so they're going to chance a attack of opportunity. That is a miss with a natural two. So Topsy actually runs all the way over to here. All right. Next up, we have Indigo Honeydew.
Oh yeah! All right.
Let's get ready to rumble. All
right. Well, I see myself mildly surrounded by two of these tentacle beak boys, which I don't love. But we're gonna go ahead and make the most of it here. Indigo's gonna clap their hands together and say a short prayer to Taril.
I believe please guide us and give us strength and make us sure that we don't all die. That would be great.
And I'm gonna cast Bless on myself, on Sefel. I cannot see Laura, so I'll drop it on Bupito. Oh no, so I only get three. So I'll do Indigo, Sefel, and Sarif.
Okay. All right. Cool. Any kind of movement?
Listen. I've seen stool stat
block. Insanity is starting to take over.
All right.
Can I do one more thing? Just
depends on what it is.
I want to pull my shield out.
Okay. All right. You pull your shield out. Yeah, that's fine. Right. It is now Turvy's turn. Turvy is gonna try and sucker punch this dude. Nope. That's a five. What the hell? Okay, Turvy, though, is a little bit tougher than... Or actually, Turvy is the brother. Topsy is the sister. So Turvy is going to try and stand strong and stay in range of this creature. All right. Next up, Sarith.
All right. Our big bad boy, he is going to move over here. And he's going to pick up a piece of bone, like a nice jagged piece of bone off the ground if he can.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll say that'll do a D6.
Love it. And then he's going to go ahead and make a stab at this one right here.
Okay, go ahead. This is going to equate to like a short sword, and I will say it's close enough to it that you can add your proficiency bonus here.
All right, sounds good. All right, and they will make the attack. Not great. That's a 12.
That is a miss.
Ah, alas.
Yikes. Okay, that is their turn. Sefel, you are finally up.
Okay. Sefel sees, you know, multiple people now pulling out bones and using them as weapons. And he sort of looks back and forth and looks at these creatures and gets this, like, this grin.
You're not using them to their full potential.
He is going to glide backwards 5 feet, which I am sure will invoke an attack of opportunity from that creature.
Oh yeah, it's gonna
do it.
Let's see, that is a 13 plus 4, 17. That's gotta hit a wizard.
It will. It will.
Okay. I'm sure you were thinking about the math for the shield. You take 8 points of slashing damage.
Okay. You are correct that I was thinking about shield, but it was more in the conservation of spell slots. Shield would have helped.
Oh, nice. Okay. All right. I see what you're
choosing.
You're doing the long game. Doing that long game.
So I am gliding backwards, and he takes the damage, reels a little bit, but lands on his feet and reaches out long, purple gnarled fingers to the corpses on the ground and rips his hand forward, and from the corpses fly shards of bone at this creature. Nice. In melee with Indigo right. Under him on the map. And I will cast Bone Shard at first.
Booyah. Alright, tell us about the Bone Shard, since it's a homebrew spell.
Sure.
People aren't going to know about it.
Sure. So it is a first level necromancy spell. It uses the skeletal remains of a corpse to create a projectile weapon. I get to choose a corpse of a creature within range, which is 30 feet, and fragments of bone from the corpse splinter off and fly toward another selected creature within range. On a successful ranged spell attack, the target takes 2d8 damage, half of which is piercing and half of which is necrotic. And then there are rules about how many times you can cast it on a single corpse, dependent on size. But that will come in possibly later. But for right now, I'm going to make my spell attack.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that hits with a 18, I assume?
Yes, it does.
All right.
Yes, it does. Roll that 2d8, yeah.
2d8.
DPS boy.
Ooh, that is good. All right. So, ooh! I rolled a 7 and an 8, so we're talking 7 points of piercing damage, 8 damage, that is necrotic, for 15 total.
Very nice. You launch this bone shard, explodes from the body. I imagine it's like one of the ribs, and it just flies end over end and stabs into the side of this creature's mouth. You just see like this font of green blood just explode outward, and it starts thrashing its head back and forth. You actually did a pretty big chunk of damage to it. All right, you got anything else on your turn there?
Hell yeah. I don't think so. One of the pitfalls of being a wizard, but the only thing I would be able to do is two weapon fighting, and I don't have two weapons, so that is my turn.
That's a bummer. All right, Lara, you are up and you are away from the party.
Okay, Lara is going to, upon hearing the screeching, the smacking, the squawking, going to turn south and at a dead sprint move into the cavernous space again, seeing just like utter chaos, and fire off a good old Eldritch Blast.
One
between Indigo and Bupito.
Okay, so that one there. Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm assuming I can do that without hitting Bupito, right?
Yeah, they're a small creature, so yeah, you definitely have enough line of sight. As this weird worm is hanging from the ceiling.
That's a 12.
That's a miss.
Okay.
Oof.
Do I have enough time to drop my staff and pull out the club and dagger?
I'm pretty sure it's a free action to pull out different weapons. If I'm remembering that, Rules Lawyer, do you have anything to comment on that?
So you get, as part of your turn, you get one free object interaction that is essentially tied into either your movement or your action. So if you were to, say, make an attack with your club, it would be part of that action to pull it from your pack and use it to attack. Stowing also counts. So it would be if you were to try to stow your staff and pull another weapon, one of them would take up your action.
Okay. Then I am, after the Eldritch Blast, Lara's just going to leave it there. I'm not going to worry about the other stuff.
Okay, so you stow it away, and you will continue to kind of get into it later. All right. Now, it's the true hero of this story, Stool!
Kill him.
First blood!
Stool's so precious to me, I don't know if I want to risk his life. And then any sort of foolhardy move.
That's Andrew for the stat block sucks.
You ain't wrong. He's a little boy.
Yeah, they're it's very
okay. He's cute.
Yeah, there's a reason he didn't get that bless. I just don't see him being much use. he's gonna run over to Lara.
Okay.
And he'll take the dodge action.
Smart, Mike and Ed. Okay, all right. Now we are back up at the top here. Miraculously, my highest rolls of the night were for all of these friggin' creatures right now. All right, so first one is the one with Indigo right now that just took that horrible bone into the side of its face as it's sticking out. It's going to try and lash out with its tentacle one more time at Indigo.
What you got?
I'm gonna use my big red die.
I don't like that.
13 plus 4, 17.
Yeah, it's a hit.
All right, here comes the 2d6. Oof, that's 8 points of slashing damage.
Ow.
And since it has hit you with its tentacle, it like suckers onto you and it's going to try and bite you with its beak. The green die, that's a 5. So nope, 9 does not hit you. I know that much for sure. All right. This one here, having Bupito and Sarith both stabbing at it, is going to... It's going to swing at Sarith here. Let's do my big metal die. Switch it around. Nope. That's a... Actually, well, maybe. That's a 10 to hit Bupito.
Oh, that does not hit Bupito.
Damn it. Dang it. I want to draw blood. I'm thirsty for death. All right. Next one is the one on top of Brillinir and Turvey and near Sefel. It is going to swing at Turvey here. Let's do that red die since that red die seemed pretty good. Nope, that's another natural 1. I think that's my 4th one tonight.
Mm-hmm. I've that's never crazy. Seen you roll this shitty, especially when it was against us.
Yeah, and in combat. So this is great. Good things to come. All right, the one that's with Eldith, it's going to swing at her again. Roman numeral die. Thank you. That's a 16 plus 4, yeah, so that's a 20.
Yep. It hit before the bonus.
Let's see here. Roman numeral die, you're so nice to me. That is 7 points of slashing damage.
Ooh, she is not looking great.
And you know what else is not looking great?
My 2 heal list is getting
that's
pretty long here, guys.
The tentacle stuck to her. Oh, shit. That is a 11 to hit.
That does not hit.
You lucky son of a bitch, it'll never happen again. All right, now we are officially back into you guys. Bryl and Nira is gonna go. They are going to take this large shard, or actually, ooh, they have, where's their bonus action? Do they not have that? Hang on. I know I can. They are going to... Okay. They are going to mark this creature as their favored foe, and they're going to take a swing. Fudge a duck! That's a natural four! Brillanera swipes out with his large kind of shard and misses. Okay, cool. Good job, you useless bug. Fuck yourself. Sure. Anyways. All right. Eldef, you are up.
Okay. So, Eldef, who is bleeding profusely at this point, is going, oh, wow. Okay. She is going to... I feel like I should know this. But is disengage...
It is an action.
Can anybody... Anybody can do it as an action, correct?
Yep. And yes.
Okay. So she is actually going to disengage as her action. And okay. She is going to... I don't have control of her token, but she's going to back away from this creature.
Mark, ping where you want her to go, and I will move her there.
Okay. So she's going to actually sort of... duck under it and move past it to the north and head up this northwestern tunnel here and try to remain in sight of everything that's going on, but remove herself from its melee range.
Okay. All right, yeah, she manages to escape away, and she starts traversing back the tunnel that you guys actually came from. All right, Bupido, you are up.
All right, Bupido's going to get down low and get at him with another little swipe of his dagger.
Do it, Bupido!
That is a 12 to hit. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry, it's a 14 to hit. 14 to hit.
That is a hit.
Oh. All right.
All right. So he's going to do 1d4 plus strength, which is a -1. I don't subtract from the damage, right?
No. So daggers are finesse, so you can use your dex modifier on that. So don't subtract. Don't use your strength on that. I think he has a higher dex.
Yes, he does. Thank you. That is... 4 damage.
Okay. Again, you see Bupido try to stab in, and he just can't. You see he swung with a lot of force, but he can't quite sink it in far enough, and this creature is just its tentacles waving about its face. Okay. All right, Bupido. Good job. Good job. It's now Topsy's turn. She sees how everybody's kind of faring here, and she is actually going to run back in against her better judgment. She's like, and she just like runs in, and she's, and she's going to try to hit it with her fist. Wow, that's a big old hit. And she does... She does 6 points of damage. However, you see like her fist connect with it, and once again, just like not a whole lot getting through, but this creature seems somewhat dazed by the hit. Because you can see its body like kind of waver back and forth as Topsy connected with it. All right. Indigo, you are up.
Also, against better judgment, Indigo is going to look over to this guy and not wanting them to latch on to Eldith, who is clearly pretty badly hurt. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to thorn whip him to try to bring him over closer to me. So it's okay. A spell attack plus my bless. Ooh, I need to make a concentration check for that bless.
Ooh, that's true. Ooh, you moment. Did get hit. All right, let's Ooh, see moment. It.
All right, cool. 16. Still good.
All right. Yep, all right. You're good.
Here is the whip. That's a natural 20 plus the 2.
Ooh.
Total Ooh. 20.
Now we're talking!
Roll that fuck. Run that fucking critical damage!
Shots fired! Tentacles!
Well, you know, this is what it's that's snake eyes. No. That's two points of damage.
Oh, little minimum damage.
Yep, minimum. But
oh, that hurts.
But I still get to do the oh. Get over here, and I'll pull them 10 feet closer to me.
Hell
get,
yeah!
Get your ass into my melee range, and as I bring
Welcome
them over to
my
me,
dungeon,
am I able? Correct me on this rule. Am I able to ask cast a bonus action spell?
If
as long as it's a cantrip.
Okay. If my action was a cantrip, does the bonus action have to be a cantrip as well?
No, you can do a spell.
Yes.
Bonus action spell.
Yeah. Yeah, if it is a leveled spell, so the rule is you can do one leveled spell in a round. After that, anything else has to be a cantrip.
Cool.
So if it has a casting time of a bonus action, you can use a spell slotted spell.
Perfect. Then I'll do that. I will cast a little healing word to hopefully cinch up some of these bloody wounds on my body. You know, that's what I deserve. That's another one. That's a total of 5. So we're looking a lot better.
God damn, guys.
All right.
So many ones. Indigo's just like cowering behind their shield.
I got this.
All right, well, it's Turvy's turn. Turvy's going to swing with their feast at this creature. It's a natural 16. Nice save there. He connects. Yes, thank you. I worked really hard on that. But actually does no damage with that hit. Seemed unaffected by it with that hit. You see, he launches a solid hit, but the creature doesn't even react to it. You see that their hides are pretty tough to your weapons and whatnot. All right, Sarith, you are up now.
All right, our boy steps up, bone short sword in hand. He's swinging at our friend right here, and this time he remembers that he's blessed.
Woo!
You know, this is... I rolled a 4 on the blessed dive. That's a natural 1, baby. That's a miss.
Oh, jeez. And we are all just sucking.
I'm really good at rolling 1s.
Hey, do not lump me in with you. I have rolled okay tonight. I will not be insulted.
Well, get over here and keep carrying this fight, because someone's got to do it.
Well, speaking of the man
who's...
the
guy with 3 spell slots.
Yeah, the man who's carrying the team in the damage department right now, Indigo... Sorry. Sifel, you are up.
All right. So, seeing that damage wonderfully went through, Sifel is going to key in to... Let's see, a 10-foot radius. Sifel is going to key into some new knowledge. He learned a couple of things and has been looking over them in the small amount of spare time that he's had. He looks to these, you know, two creatures in between Sarith and Indigo, who unfortunately are probably... Well, Indigo is actually probably going to get caught in the crossfire of this spell.
Excuse me?
Oh, no.
And he reaches, what? He reaches his hand out, and part of his mind connects with the fabric of the world around him. And he wants it to move a little bit slower and a little bit heavier. And he is going to cast Magnify Gravity.
Ooh.
Which is a... It is a 60-foot range spell. And it has a 10-foot radius. So, if I unfortunately cast it right on Indigo, I can catch all of these creatures. Or these three creatures.
All right. Is there any save for this?
There is. There is a DC 15 Constitution save.
Oh my. Oof. Oh my, I don't like that. I don't like that.
I am blessed.
So I need to roll three saves.
I did not roll great on the damage.
You aren't going to like me.
Okay.
There is a 16, okay. Two 16s, and a 13.
The 13 fails. Indigo, you also have to make that save.
Well, 12 plus 1, 13. Psych, bless plus 4, 17, save!
Hey!
You do save. You do make right, the save.
This one here next to you, Sifel, is the one that failed. The rest passed.
So the one that failed takes 8 points of force damage.
Oh, very nice.
The other two and Indigo take 4 points. And the one that failed, his speed is reduced by half until the end of its next turn.
Mm. And so this is like gravity pulling at them, right? You said kind of like focusing them towards Indigo. So, just because of the way they're positioned, I'm gonna do a little something here. I'm gonna make some rolls, and we'll see what happens here.
Okay.
Ooh. All right. The same one that failed, this one here, actually the force of the gravity was enough to unkilter it as it was clinging to the ceiling, and it actually falls prone to the ground.
Excellent. So
anybody that's going after it melee now has advantage on it. Good use of that spell. I love it, and I will always throw in fun benefits for great usage like that. That was a really cool move.
Amazing. So I want to take just a second because we didn't. So this is the first time that Sifel has used anything like this, and I specifically left out in talking about the level up what Sifel was. He is a Graviturge wizard. So, really quick, there are a couple cool things that come with that. I will speed through. So, Magnify Gravity was the other spell that I got that I wasn't talking about. And there is a similar ability that comes with his arcane tradition, which is called Adjust Density, which, as an action, I can alter the weight of one object or creature within 30 feet. The target's weight is halved or doubled for up to a minute or until my concentration ends. While it is halved, the creature's speed increases by 10 feet. It can jump twice as far, but it has disadvantage on strength checks and strength saving throws. And if I choose to double its weight, the creature's speed is reduced by 10, but it has advantage on strength checks and throws. Saving throws.
Interesting.
Enter the Graviturge.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. All right, well, Lara, you are up. That Eldritch Blast didn't work, and you threw down your staff. What's up?
Okay, so... my intention was to pull out the club and the dagger, but if I can only pull out one, I'm only going to pull out the club.
Okay.
And I'm going to... head on into here. So I, Lara's going to position herself between the, because Indigo's kind of like surrounded, so she's going to position herself between two of those, and then the one is prone, so that's the one I'm going to swing at, with
okay.
the club. Okay. So the first one is a 10, and the second one is an 11.
Oh, nope. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, since you entered this one space and kind of like moved around, that doesn't, because you didn't leave it, you don't take an attack of opportunity, right? My resident rules lawyer and
right.
DMs.
That is correct. You have to, right. You have to leave its melee range to incur.
Great. All right. Well, Lara runs in, she positions herself over this worm creature writhing on the ground and, like, strikes down and just happens to squirm enough out of the way that she smashes the club into the ground. That middle bar you stole from Falkengove. They are looking for that bar! How dare you steal it! It's very important!
Structure together?
Yes, everything's falling apart. Stool, you are up. Bring us back home. Help us, Stool. You're our only hope.
Do I dare? Do I dare risk the life of my favorite character, including my own?
Do it.
Stool rushes in. He's gonna.
Oh!
He's gonna stand between Sarif and Bupido.
And
He's gonna. Wait, never mind. He's way faster than that. He's gonna go all the way around, Seraph, to the one that's prone, sensing blood in the water. It's Stool's time to strike.
Stool gets the first kill.
Stool's gonna weave through the combatants and thrust himself at the prone enemy.
Alright, you have advantage. Do it.
Mycanoid ferocity. That's a 16 plus 1. That's a 17.
Oh, it's a hit. Stool coming in. Bubba, 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 bubba.
Just total metal. All
right. Well, so his fist attack did 1 damage minus 1 damage equals 0 damage plus 1 poison damage. That's right. 1 poison damage. And you know what else he's going to do this turn? He's going to lose his last 10 feet of movement to run back over here, away from the thing, while it's still prone.
Okay, so, fuck me. Yeah, totally, this poor creature just misses trying to lash out at the ground at this thing. But Stool runs in. Bubba, 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 bubba. I just picture slow motion, like, action movie. You know, like, hero comes running in. He, like, lashes out with his foot. Kicks it. Nothing happens. A little bit of poison residue remains, and then he's like, I'm out of here! And then runs.
From across the battlefield, Indigo just gives him like a hard, like, nice nod. Like,
that's my boy right there!
You showed. You showed that creature who's boss. I did my best, Indigo! Okay. Next, we're back up at these creatures. So the one at Indigo... It's looking rough. He's got to swing out at you. Let's do this red die. This red die's been hot. It's a 5. Fuck you, red die. All right, that one misses. This one here
hot
is
garbage.
Going to...
Am I right?
Oh, you shut your mouth. I'm coming for you. This one's going to attack Lara. That is... Wait a minute. It's my Roman numeral die. You're all right. It's just an 18.
that's going to hit.
I thought it was a natural 20. And, oh, I basically rolled almost minimum damage. 5 points of damage.
Okay. Lara is going to reaction, turn, and point, and cast Hellish Rebuke.
Ooh. Okay. Can I resolve this like free attack though that I get because I hit you with a tentacle first?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
So that was hold four, right?
Hold your horses. That was what?
No, go ahead.
Say what? Say what? What did you say? That's a 14, 18 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
That's a hit. Okay. Oh, same roll. 5 more points of damage. And now hit me with your hellish rebuke.
I'd need a dexterity saving throw. DC 13.
Great. Mother fucking piece of... That's a 5.
Ooh. Okay.
You're killing my wormies.
That is a spicy roll right there. That is 18 fire damage plus 2 thunder.
Holy shit. Oh!
Yeah.
Get Describe your kill!
Well, I'm imagining Hellish Rebuke, like, for Lara is... It's like a fiery lightning. And then she's always got this thunder that surrounds it. So, it's kind of like this piercing bolt that then singes, and then like the thunder is inside and it explodes.
Jesus.
Ooh, hell yeah. I
love it. So woo! It like enters fucking... in, then you just hear this and it explodes. Oh, and this worm creature, it's just literally destroys it. Just spatters just blood and viscera
across the rock.
Just descending upon you, Bopito. Bopito's looking like William Dafoe on the cover of Platoon, just like arms raised up and blood showering down. Topsy is just like, oh my god, there's chunks in my mouth. Indigo, it's raining down on you, this green ichor.
Ew.
Wow. Okay. This creature is gone. Alright, it is this one. It gets up from its prone position. It's gonna lash out at Zafel, because fuck your wizardry.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
You're no wizard, Harry.
Ooh, that's a natural 17 plus 4. 21.
Yeah, that really hits. That hits you real ready good.
You ready for some pain?
I don't know, man.
7 points of damage.
Okay.
Sefel is looking about as beat up as Eldeth is.
Okie dokie, one left. It's going to take a swing at Turvy. That's another natural one. Okay, that's 5. Fuck this shit.
Ooh.
I'm sorry, I'm swearing so much. That's a 5.
So, not to kill myself, but doesn't the one that hit me get a free beak attack?
Oh, you're so right. You're so right. Thank you. You know what?
I mean, like,
take a point of inspiration because your character might die.
Thank you. I mean, if you're gonna kill me, do it right. That's all I'm saying.
This is fair. Oh, that's a natural 18 plus 4.
Fuck!
Oh, no.
He came in as a rules lawyer. He's going out as a rules lawyer.
Yeah. He died as he lived.
Near next to
fuck.
Near next to max damage, I rolled a 5. That is 7 more points of piercing damage.
Okay. Alright, well, I am unconscious.
Alright.
Sefel is unconscious.
Indigo smiles. Finally, my moment has come.
Actually, I'm sorry.
Stool just starts eyeing him hungrily.
I'm sorry. It's only been... This is this creature's first turn since... Never mind. The movement wouldn't even come into this.
Yeah, no, it just got up, so yeah.
Yeah, because I'm thinking if that was its first turn since the magnify gravity, its speed would be halved, so literally its only movement would be to get up. But I'm right in its range anyway, so...
Yeah. Okay.
That's cool. I'm all unconscious. Right.
Yep. Alright. Rillanira is up and sees Sefel go down. However, they know that they cannot save you. They don't have anything, no spells or anything that will help here. Okay, however, they are going to cast Zephyr Strike. So you see them, like, wind up this blinding speed and swing out at this worm. That is a natural 20!
Wow, he rolls well when it's on our side.
Nice.
Yeah, weird. And it was its favored foe, so holy smokes. This is going to be 2d6, a d8, and a d4 of damage.
Jesus. Plus modifier.
Wow. Holy mother of God. A 6, a 5, so that's 11, 3, 14, plus 6, that's 20 points of damage, plus the modifier. What am I doing? Because that was with a... Okay, so 22 points of damage against this creature. And that was some magical damage in there, so that's going to... This creature, you see Brillinera, this Coulterid, just run up and, using its knowledge on insectoid-like creatures, comes up, stabs into it, and just eviscerates this creature, and it is dead. Nice. Let's see here. I think I get to do something else because of Zephyr Strike. Till the spell ends, your movement doesn't provoke opportunity attacks. Whenever you hit or miss, your walking speed increases by 30 feet until the end of your turn. So they now have 60 feet of movement. They're going to run over here because they don't need that much and position themselves. Wow. Okay. Eldith, you are up. Seems like the tide may be turning.
Okay. Eldith actually sees Sifel go down, as this is her very limited view. And the compassionate person that she is going to decide that she is not going to just cower in this tunnel and let her friends die. So she is going to... She's going to move inward to this, down the tunnel and to the worm creature that knocked Sifel down. So she's going to take up arms right next to Sifel's body.
Mm-hmm.
And she is going to smash this worm a couple of times with her rock.
Okay, take a swing there, big boy.
Okay, the first attack is a 15.
That is a hit. She's got two attacks?
Yep.
Okay.
The second one was an 8, so it doesn't hit. But 1 point of damage.
She smashes this rock against it and sees that it really doesn't have any effect on this weird, tough, rubbery hide of this worm-like creature.
Amazing.
All right. Yeah, so good. Bupito, you're up.
Finish him.
Bupito's going to rush to the one next to Sifel. And he's feeling confident about that dagger work he's been doing, so he's going to lash out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nat 20.
Oh!
Hey!
What up?
Yeah.
Here come the crits.
So that's a 2 plus 2 is 4. And then you want me to roll again, or you just double it?
Roll again.
Okay. That is a 3.
Okay, so 7 points of damage. Nice. You see that it doesn't quite go all the way through, but this worm is looking very, very rough. All right, nice job, Bupido. Topsy is up. Topsy is going to run over here, and she's going to swing at this worm. Let's get the Roman die out again. It's been so good. Never mind. Back into jail, because that's a natural 3. All right, good job, Topsy.
No, that's okay. You can keep that one. We like that one.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. All right, Indigo, you are up. These two worm-like creatures, one above, one below, they're both looking rough. What you want to do?
All right, well, I'm looking on the one hand at Sifel lying in a heap on the ground, and I'm looking at Worm Boy right next to me, And Indigo is going to go full anime, like stretch out an arm to both sides, a little bit of like white holy fire wreathing his arms. I'm going to use my action for a sacred flame on the enemy to myself, and then I'm going to get a bonus action healing word for Sefel.
Okay. So that's a dex save for me, right?
Yes, DC 14 dex save.
That's a fail, consistent with most of my rolls tonight.
Well, you know, take a cheeky 2 points of radiant damage.
Ah, he's still up.
And hey, Sefel, that's max heal, baby. 8 points of healing for you. Get your bones up.
Ooh, hell yeah. Got banana bread at work today, dude. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Got a free
banana bread.
Got a free healing word. Hell yeah. Jeez, bro. All right, it's Turvy's turn. Now seeing Sefel up, is going to run over here to attack the worm that is engaged with his sister. Let's see. Come on, red die. Natural 15. That is a hit. Let's see if he can kill this creature. Let's see. There's the damage I want. Boom. He grabs on and rips the mouth open like King Kong style to those T-Rexes in the Jack Black King Kong. Just rips it open, and this creature is dead. All right. You guys are almost done. Almost done. Finish it off. Sarith.
All right. Our favorite quiet drow boy gonna take another swing with that sweet sweet bone short sword. Well, you know, he's trying so hard, guys. You know, he's just making so many great strides as a person. That's a 12. That's
oh my god,
12.
That is a miss as his worm withers and moves out of the way of this bone sword you're kind of wielding here. Yikes, Sarith. Goodness. All right, Sefel, you are now conscious, and it is your turn. What do you want to do?
Okay. Sefel quickly comes to and looks up at this creature thrashing about in it what he would like to make its final moments. Would you go ahead and make a intelligence saving throw for me?
Absolutely not. Nope. Sorry, try again. All right, fine. Fine, I'll roll it. Jeez, Jesus. not very intelligent. That's an 8, so that's a fail?
Yes, that is a fail. So I am going to cast Mind Sliver.
Ooh.
And I'm going to shove a spike of psychic energy into this creature's brain.
Ow.
Or what is in its place. It only does 3 points of, I believe it is psychic damage? No, that wasn't meant to.
And that is enough to kill it.
Yes!
Oh yeah!
This last creature just slops to the ground. And you guys are out of combat. Way to go.
Woo!
Woo!
Welcome to the underdog,
baby.
That was
our first, like, battle.
Yeah, everyone survived. No dead NPCs.
Hey.
No dead NPCs.
Fuck
the NPC.
And you guys earned some nice XP. Some nice
Hell
XP.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, we did.
Hell yeah, that. Dude. XP? Hell
that
yeah,
fucking
dude.
Work, dude.
Oh my god.
This is just going to be a running joke now.
Sefel is just going to peel himself off of the ground because he stayed down to cast that final spell.
Mm-hmm.
indigo, it pains me to say this, but I appreciate the aid.
Oh, no problem. I'm here to help anytime you need it. You're my favorite squiddy buddy, and I'm never gonna let anything bad happen to you.
A part of me feels like that should be offensive, but I'm not sure.
If it was, I do apologize. I'm learning there's a lot of new things going on. This transformation is about 2 hours old, so you know, just let me know how I can best respect you and your space.
Fucking hell.
It's so hard to roleplay a shitty, grouchy person when you're such an endearing little Boy Scout.
No, that's just the way they raised me at the Abbey, you know? Wandering around, meeting new folks.
As you guys continue on towards the end of the day, you guys come up upon two very large pathways, these tunnels, and Brilla Nira actually turns to a lot of you and goes,
there is no more time for me to be here with you. My path diverts. But to this way,
and it points to the right,
I think you will find your way.
The mandibles clicking about its mouth.
Yeah, Lara's going to give a nod and kind of gesture for everyone to head down that direction. Imagining that probably Indigo is better at talking to this gentleman than she would be.
Well, you know, thank you ever so much for your help. We wouldn't have got nearly this far without you. Is there anything that I can do for you before we go?
No. Thank you for waking me.
Hey, you know, I'm just glad we fell down your tunnel, you know? Yeah, go on your way. If we ever see you again, we'd be super happy to catch up and, you know, is there anything you want us to do, you know, in your, you know, Underdarky tunnelies? Any last things on the old to-do list?
The creatures have become more wild in their time away from us. Be kind to them. They are but young in the ways of relearning. I hope to
absolutely
find more.
We will take care of them.
Good. May you find your way out.
And they slowly turn, that kind of gnarled fungi staff in hand, and they start walking down the left passageway. Their fireflies following them, illuminating the way a little bit for them. And as you catch up with the group, you actually see that the rest of your friends have stopped. Because not even 100 feet farther down this tunnel, you see the strangest sight. You see two 20-foot tall, iron-hinged, castle-like doors. and they sit at kind of a cocked, maybe 15 to 20 degree angle, like they're not naturally meant to be there. And you see the wood has started growing fungi and rotting in different sections, but you see the fine, large hinges kind of creeping across the door, and you see what look like these large old metal handles, but it just like these doors just appear out of nowhere, and they sit at this odd angle, leaning towards the left. What do you do?
Should we knock?
Which NPC was it that was guiding us to Dugar? Is that or no?
Gracklestug?
Sorry. The Gracklestug, the Dwager city. That would be Bupido, actually.
Yeah, Laura will turn to Bupido. Bupido, is this our destination?
No, this is not it. This is most odd. This is not dwarven design, and this is not of the drow nature, and most certainly not of Darrow or gnomish make. This is not of the Underdark.
The bug creature had said something about a giant stronghold somewhere below. Would this match their architecture?
You guys can actually make an investigation or arcana check, actually, while you're doing that, and some of the others will do that.
That is a 17 to arcana.
Okay.
I got a 6.
Okay.
12 to arcana.
Okay. Sifel, you said you got a 17, right?
Yes.
Okay. As far as you can tell, this doesn't appear to be something of giantish make. However, these doors are very tall, and you would think, and the rest of you actually do, you think that this is of human make, actually.
So it is truly not meant to be down here, then.
Weird.
Do we have time to sit for a moment?
Assuming there's like a quick look around, like shows no movement, Laura will nod.
It's just the tunnel, and the tunnel leads directly into these doors. There's like no other space. So you look around and you see like, yeah, there's nothing or no one around but you guys.
Okay.
I will distinguish my light so that we're not obvious.
Sifel is going to cast Identify as a ritual. He's going to sit cross-legged in front of the doors and have a handout touching them. I know it is not a magical object, but as part of Identify, I learn whether any spells are affecting an item and what those spells are. And if the item was created by a spell, I learn which spell created it. So if this doorway is truly not supposed to be here, if it was displaced from somewhere else, I would probably know that. Or if it was literally created here by magical means, I would be able to learn that as well.
Okay. You sit down, and what is that, a school of magic for that identify?
It is a divination spell.
Okay. I need you to make a constitution saving throw as you cast this spell.
Ooh, okay. Con save. 17.
Okay. You swear something, like, you actually see the atmosphere around these doors in this tunnel that you're in, actually, like, a glow starts emitting as you cast this spell, and you feel, like, this weird pressure upon you and kind of, like, intertwining with the magic, almost like it wants to take it away from you, and, like, that energy just wants to dissipate outwards into whatever, like the ether. But you manage to keep a grasp on it, and you cast a spell. And what you glean is that some kind of transmutation magic put this door here, and you feel that it's connected to something far, far larger.
Okay. Is there a spell in particular that was, like, a transmutation spell in particular, or just transmutation magic in general?
Give me a moment here. Actually, let me just double check something here. I'm pretty sure it is. I'm pretty sure it's transmutation. Oh, no, actually, sorry. It is of conjuration. And okay, that makes sense. You focus on it a little bit longer?
Yes.
You think that there was some kind of massive teleportation circle that moved what feels to be a colossal structure into this space somehow.
This is an entire structure beyond. If it stayed intact, it was displaced by powerful teleportation magic by whom I do not know, but clearly very powerful magic.
And as you pull your hand away from the door, you actually feel it shift as it starts, this large door, the left-hand door, actually falls inward, swinging backwards, and slams against the wall. And you look in and you see what looks like a grand hall. Dark. You can only see it in your shades of gray, except there's, as you're looking in, there's like this weird glow that starts to kind of dimly illuminate the room. You see in front of you, about 30 to 40 feet away, there's a grand looking staircase, but you see a couple pillars have fallen across it. You see what looked like the grand entryway into a hall atop these stairs, actually blocked off by a number of statues and pillars that have fallen in front of it. And you see dozens of skeletal remains strewn about the floor. And that's where we'll leave it this week.
Hey everybody, this is Sam Conklin. I voice Lara in the Madness Table. We are so delighted to have you here. Thank you so much for listening to our dinky little podcast. We pour our hearts into this, so to have you here is just, it's the world. If you haven't already, we have a Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at The Madness Table. You can also shoot us an email at themadnesstable@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, love to hear how you're enjoying the show, any questions you have for the characters. We might even shout you out in some future post show notes, so please do so. If you're loving the podcast, we would just adore you if you shared it with a friend. And that's it. So we'll see you in 2 weeks for our next episode when
the madness continues.